Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
All right. I may need to cut a new open.
Might have to.
Jason again absent this week.
You could say, and maybe Jason Casey.
Jason Casey?
Possibly.
Entirely. I mean, maybe. Maybe Casey. I don't know. He's not here. Programming reminder, next week I will be in Vermont, so no new shows next week. You've been informed. We will have a classic episode for you, if you will, or even if you won't. So we got all that. Coming up today, we're going to hear some info about Brett Kavanaugh's frat. What Coach Dave is up to. And let's see. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk healthcare.
Healthcare.
And Beyonce's black magic. Are some of the things that we're going to be talking about. Before we get to all of that, Kareem, how was North Carolina?
North Carolina was fun. Interesting. So my brother, Charlie, had surgery last week.
Mm-hmm.
Did not tell my mother.
Right. I believe we talked about that on the show.
Only told me and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, my brother Raymond doesn't listen to this because he'd be upset.
I'm calling Jason while you tell the story.
So Friday afternoon, I'm at the house and my mom's like, Charlie had surgery last week. He just called me 30 minutes or yesterday, last week, and called. He just called me 30 minutes and told me.
Hello?
Jason.
What's going on, guys?
We're doing a show. What's going on with you?
Yeah? I'm sicker than a dog.
So what's going on? What has taken you down for the count?
I don't know, man. It's just some cold. You know, I get a cold and it settles in my lungs, and all of a sudden I can't breathe. Like Saturday, I was gonna call off the ACL show, but my boss's wife. There's some people who are gonna be coming to a show, so I could not like say I couldn't be at the show. And then when I found out, like, that they weren't going to make the show, like, it was already, like, you know, an hour before the show, and I couldn't, like, bow out and then not have enough people to perform that close to showtime.
So you had to go and perform an ACL because they wouldn't have enough people for a show, but you had no problem stiffing Kareem and I again.
Well, it's not the... I went to work. I didn't go to work on Saturday because it was Saturday. So I didn't go to work today because I'm sick. I can't go. It's not cool. It's not, you know, especially I'm sick. You don't want me to be there and get you guys sick possibly.
No.
My wife's now starting to get sick.
Oh, God.
Y'all a bunch of little germy bastards.
She's not getting it.
Kareem says you're all a bunch of little germy bastards.
It's what's the way it goes, man. Like, and it's just like dominoes. They just fall. They just eventually all fall. You can't get away from it. I mean, this house was bleached top to bottom yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Top to bottom.
It was already bleached before yesterday.
and then I went to work yesterday because I had to get up and like, and go to the doctor's to see my lung specialist and be like, hey, I can't breathe right now. It was already an appointment that I had. But he can't do all the tests he needs to do on me because I can't breathe. He's like told me to update my prednisone and give me some other medication. Anyhow.
So you're on steroids is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm on steroids. So like I'm also moody and jerky right now too.
And back. And acne all over your back.
Oh yeah. 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 It's awesome. It's awesome. It's great. So anyhow, I can breathe though.
Well, there you go.
I'm a jerk and not a good employee friend or podcast mate.
Are you using maxi pads or are you using maxi pads or tampons?
I mean, the difference between me and the Supreme Court justice nominee is that I'll admit when I've done something wrong or when I might be an asshole.
Kareem wanted to know, tampons or maxi pads? Which are you using?
Well, I mean, the maxis have wings, so that's definitely one of them. That's definitely the first of my panties.
All right, man. Well, feel better. I just wanted to check in with you because, you know, we just started the show, and I wanted to check in to see how you were doing. So feel better.
Well, thanks, guys.
Remember, next week there's no show.
Oh, so when I show up there, because maybe I don't remember because you know, I'm on a lot of medication right now.
Yeah, I'll
so
be in.
Like, oh, yeah, that's like conversation. You'll be in Vermont?
I'll be in Vermont.
Okay, I'll Facebook Live from now.
Good luck. Good luck getting in.
Yeah.
All right, man. Feel better and don't get the rest of your family sick, okay?
Yeah, well, it's too late. Too late. All right. It's all TJ's fault, so.
Of course. All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye. All right, there you go. Jason Casey on his deathbed.
Poor baby.
Could not go in. All right, Kareem, I'm sorry. You were talking about the surgery.
Yeah. So Friday afternoon, my mom, I get back to the house, and my mom's like, Charlie just called me 30 minutes ago and told me he had surgery this week. I was like, really?
That's the strangest thing.
What's wrong with him? She's like, he's in trouble.
He's pregnant?
I was like, what's wrong with him? What's going on? Did you know? I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm just surprised you are. Oh, my goodness. So that happened.
Mm-hmm.
That was entertaining. Got to work on my project some.
I saw some of the photos.
I think I did 5 interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I did 6 interviews.
Okay.
Which were, enlightening.
Okay.
In some cases. I did my brother owns a barber school.
Okay.
So, I interviewed him at the school, and then I interviewed 2 of the guys at the school. This is a different brother. But I interviewed 2 of the men that are in the school, and, made me prouder of him than I ever thought I could be.
Huh.
Because the 2 gentlemen I interviewed, one who was a younger guy and one who's about our age.
Okay.
And my brother's younger than me. Both of them railed on about how, important he was to them and how much like a father figure he was to them and all of the people at the barber school.
That's cool.
So that was like, great. One of my friends teared up during his interview. and it was how much fatherhood actually meant to them.
Right.
Which you never get that side of it.
No, guys never talk about that.
Yeah, you guys never talk about it. So, which was another thing, which my brother-in-law, who never likes his picture taken and who definitely doesn't want to be on video. I interviewed him for like 15 to 20 minutes, with my niece because they had such a rapport. I was like, okay, I need to get you 2 together as opposed to just getting him by himself. So it was another, men don't like to talk about themselves. Confirmed. Or at least some, well.
Oh no, I enjoy talking about myself a lot.
Yeah. So. But not when you actually really have to talk about your feelings of what.
Oh, yeah. It's all front.
It's all front. Yeah. So, so that was interesting. I spent the day with my, cousin Gary and his, grandson and, I posted a picture today of him, his daughter and the grandson, and the 2 of them are looking at him like, what did you do now? Which described our whole afternoon with him. So that was, it was fun and hilarious at the same time. It was fun and he's 3. Ian's 3. It was fun and, chasing a 3-year-old everywhere. is taxi.
Oh, yeah, because they have nothing but energy.
Nothing but energy.
And when they're done, they're just done. They just collapse.
Yeah. So I got photos of Gary cutting his father's hair and Ian's hair. I don't know if you saw those.
I didn't. I forget the exact photo I saw. I only saw a couple.
Yeah. So I did those, and then I did some at the church on Sunday before service. Those are probably the ones that you saw.
Yeah.
And gave me a newfound determination to get the project done.
So just to remind people, this is a year-long project that you're doing.
Right.
Highlighting black fathers.
Right.
Okay. What is this going to look like when it's done? Are you envisioning a video? Is it going to be pictures? Is it going to be a multimedia situation?
When I started, it was going to be pictures.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's probably going to be a multimedia thing. So we're going to do photos, and then the plan is to have the videos play when you come. So when you come to the exhibit to see the photo,
mm-hmm.
the plan is to have the interviews playing on the screen in the background.
Nice.
But as I'm doing this, other things are expanding. So I might try to add a little more to it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to talk about some things.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk. If you got ideas, we'll brainstorm some stuff.
And I could end up being a book too.
Wow.
Just from the feedback I've gotten and some of the things that I saw in the process, like, interviewing my brother-in-law, my niece. I wish I had a bigger camera, like a video camera,
mm-hmm.
to get the way they interact with each other.
Sure.
Beyond the interview that we did. So, like, it was funny to watch him and her pick out a shirt for him to wear during the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And their banter during that part was amazing. And I was like, ah, damn it. I wish I had a video camera to get this part.
All right, man. Well, that sounds awesome. I think you've really tapped into something.
Yeah.
That a lot of people wouldn't have thought of. Even people in the African American community probably didn't, you know, it's just not something you think about.
Right. And then the other part was, so I talked to two more. So, everybody remember I'm a foster kid, so I have a bunch of families.
Mm-hmm.
So I had talked to two more of my brothers about the project. And it gave me a chance to give them something to look at so that when I go back, they know what I'm looking for. when I interview and take pictures of them. So, and then it gave me, doing this trip gave me a chance to see things I could change, I could add, like, especially with, like, the interview process.
Right.
Because I hadn't done it at all. So I kind of winged it in the, mm-hmm. in that process. And then, you know, those interviews gave me different questions and different perspectives on how to question certain people.
Sure. And I bet at this point you would love to go back and talk to people you've already talked to.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, if I'd only known then what I know now.
Yeah. Cause one of the people I interviewed, he only gave me like standard answers.
Of course.
And I was like, dude, I know you. I'm sitting there saying to myself, like, I know you. I know the family. I know the family dynamic. I want you to tell us the truth
mm-hmm.
and not gloss over it. Not
right.
Without, like, you don't have to tell your all your business.
But dig into your feelings a little bit.
Dig into your feeling a little bit. And don't
yeah.
give me the, it's rewarding. It was
right.
challenging. I'm happy where they are now. Like, no, I want to know what you did to help them get through that process.
Right.
Or yeah. the process so that other people can benefit from what you did.
Yeah, or even when it happened, I was petrified. I didn't know I'd be able to get through it. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I just, you know, yeah. little by little, built on my confidence to be able, that sort of thing.
Yeah, something.
And that's not putting your business out there. That's just giving people an idea of how you handle something.
Right. And so, one of my dads, he's older and he's taking some medication and he's probably one of the wisest people I know. And when you talk to him, like, he gives you lessons when mm-hmm. you deal with it. But right now he's on some medication that slowed down his, cognition. So with him, I know I have to go. I'm gonna have to go back to him and then get him to tell me stories where he doesn't have to try to process too much.
Right.
And it's not that, cause I know like he's like really highly intelligent and, emotionally intelligent. So I wanted to be able to convey that, with his interview. But right now I have to find a time of day where the medicine doesn't hit him and he can function through it to get the
right.
And I think with him, it's going to be really important to the family after, you know.
Sure, because that's going to be around long after he's gone.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I had another story, and I'll tell it on the Friday show about my Sunday, because I think it would do a great disservice to what we talked about. So not going to do that. So NBA. The NBA is back. They had media day for all the NBA teams, and Kawhi Leonard is starting a new chapter with a new team in Toronto. And on Monday, he was trending on Twitter.
I'm a fun guy. Obviously I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's just more questions you have
to ask. He sounds fun.
Me,
yeah.
In order for me to tell you about myself, I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
So Kawhi Leonard was trending on Twitter because of that laugh. That was Monday.
That's funny.
That was Monday. Then on Tuesday, Donald Trump went back in front of the United Nations.
Today I stand before the United Nations General Assembly to share the extraordinary progress we've made. In less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true.
That was the sound of the world laughing at us.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
Just wanted to add that. So the world laughed at Donald Trump, as he said, so true, because they know, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Not at all true. And he went on to say, that wasn't the reaction I was expecting. Later on, he said, oh, I was making a joke.
No, he wasn't.
I was expecting him to laugh. No, you weren't. What a sad, sad little man.
Oh, my God. And I was watching some stuff about it before I left home. And it's funny how everybody's like, no, this is what the world thinks of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a couple of people that were like, oh, no. Like, no, this is what the world thinks of us. Everywhere, like, reporters are like, everywhere we go in the world, people are like, what the fuck's going on in your country?
Right. I mean, and that's what they think of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people. Thankfully, we have built up enough equity around the world that they don't actually think the United States is that yet. But, you know, if he wins again in 2020, then that's what's going to happen. All right. So Brett Kavanaugh. So the Supreme Court nominee, Thursday, Christine Blasey Ford is going to testify in front of the Senate committee. And then Brett Kavanaugh is going to testify in front of the Senate committee. The one wild card is Michael Avenatti. The lawyer for Stormy Daniels says he has a client who has some accusations against Brett Kavanaugh as well. Those will be coming out today, so Wednesday, the day the show comes out.
And right now, the Senate panel is going to vote on Friday, even.
Right, and I read that, and Chuck Grassley tweeted, because I saw a retweet of this, that they have to declare 3 days ahead of time when they're going to vote. He said, if we're ready to vote, we'll vote. If we're not, we won't. But we have to declare 3 days ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
So that's why that happened. Meanwhile, Brett Kavanaugh went on Fox News on Monday, and his defense was really weird because he was basically saying, look, all through high school, which is where the Christine Blasey Ford accusation occurred, and even well after high school, I never had sex with anybody. So his defense was he's never had sex. The problem is the accusations are not that he had sex. The accusations are that he held a woman down and groped her and put his hand over her mouth. That would be Christine Blasey Ford. And the one in college was that there was a girl drunk at a party and he pulled out his cock and put it in her face.
Yeah.
Again, that's not sex. So, I mean, he did say, oh, I never did that. But then he went on to defend himself by saying, oh, I was a virgin. So basically, Brett Kavanaugh's defense is that he was an incel.
Steve Kantrowitz. Perhaps Brett Kavanaugh was a virgin for many years after high school, but he claimed otherwise in a conversation with me during our freshman year in Lawrence Hall at Yale in the living room of my suite.
Meanwhile, James Roach, a man who says he was Brett Kavanaugh's roommate when they were in college, said he remembered Kavanaugh frequently drinking excessively and becoming incoherently drunk. He said he's inclined to believe the sexual misconduct allegations of a second accuser, Debbie Ramirez. She was another of Kavanaugh's classmates at Yale. Her alleged encounter with Kavanaugh, during which she stated he exposed himself to her at a party, was published by The New Yorker on Sunday. Roche described Kavanaugh as, quote, normally reserved, but a notably heavy drinker, even by the standards at the time, and that he became aggressive and belligerent when he was very drunk.
And let's not forget his friend, who doesn't want to testify in front of the committee,
right,
wrote a book about them being drunks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and his frat in college had the chant, and again, I heard this in college, too. I'm sure you heard it at one point. No means yes, and yes means anal.
Yes.
That's a classic. It doesn't really hold up in the Me Too movement.
No, it does not.
It does not hold up at all. And the
stories from the prep school that he went to.
Sure.
I've been around enough white people to know.
Yes.
If you fall asleep in a room with white guys.
At the very least, someone's drawing a penis on your face.
That's the very least is going to happen.
Right.
Somebody might put their dick in your mouth, your ear, and take a picture of it, if nothing else.
On your forehead.
It's something. A penis is going somewhere, mm-hmm, if you fall asleep or if you get too drunk in a room full of white people.
Sure.
It's happening.
Mm.
Especially 18 to 22-year-olds. Who are drinking? It's happening. I don't give, and actually I won't even say 18, 14 to 22-year-olds.
Okay.
To 25-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. So for him to say, oh, I've never done any, like, motherfucker, please.
Yeah, I don't buy it. And, six to one, half a dozen to another. The idea that the Republican Party doesn't even want to hear.
Yeah.
Doesn't want the FBI. By the way, if he's completely innocent of this shit, don't you want the FBI to do a 3-day investigation and go, yeah, this is all bullshit?
Yeah. I want somebody to say that.
Right. But they're not letting them. And the reason they're not letting them is it's not all bullshit.
Oh. And what I was listening to something else. This guy's a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Not even counting this. This is the dude who reopened up the investigation into Vince Foster's suicide.
Mm-hmm. He's the guy that insisted that that Bill Clinton answer questions about blowjobs.
Yeah.
He is also the guy who very recently, as a judge, denied a 17-year-old immigrant the right to have an abortion.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I don't say that about a lot of people like that. He is a piece of shit.
That would be my impression as well.
Yeah.
I cannot find another really great way to describe him.
And for, all these people, oh, he was great to his family. No, that guy, I don't want that guy making any decisions for anybody outside of his family.
By the way, Hitler was really nice to his dogs too.
Yeah.
That doesn't, and I'm not saying Brett Kavanaugh's Hitler. I'm just saying you can't necessarily make this blanket judgment by how someone treats their family.
Yeah, no. I don't want him making decisions for anybody but his family.
Meanwhile, our friend Coach Dave took a moment from being homophobic to defend Brett Kavanaugh.
In America today, if Judge Kavanaugh went before the cameras and said, yeah, you know what? That did happen when I went back there. That did happen. But if it didn't happen the way that she said it happened, let me tell you something. She was in there taking on about any boy that wanted to come in there. And if I remember this right, I wasn't the only guy in there. There were a bunch of them, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm telling you, she was giving it out like candy. Now, that would, Joe, Doug, that would be a, boy, they would scream and holler, wouldn't they? They say, oh, my goodness, you're disparaging her character and all that kind of stuff. There is such a double standard that's going on in America, and it's happened because, truthfully, most men in particular, we're scared of women. We're scared of them. We don't want to fight with them. That's what the title of my commentary today is. We have to learn once again to fight like girls. Instead of, you know, I used to say, oh, you throw like a girl. Now we got to say, man, we got to fight like the girls because, man, they're vicious. They're vicious. They don't, not all girls. I'm married to one. I got two beautiful daughters, but you understand what I'm talking about. That Jezebel feminist spirit, brother, that is one of the most powerful ones out there. And, be honest with you, right now that spirit is eating men alive.
I, by the way, I love it. News with Views, Coach Dave Dobmeier has.
I thought I paused that. I'm sorry. Oh. That was really weird. He came out of nowhere. I'm like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? I paused Coach Dave. Anything to that? I mean, this is just nonsense.
So the funny thing is, that's one of the things that they said about what they did.
Right.
That. Him and his, I think it was his high school, in his high school yearbook. I think they, and hopefully I'm not wrong about this, but they had a girl that they did that to, and they had a name for it. So.
The early 80s were a fucked up time.
Yeah.
They really were. Thank you, Kawhi. So that's the end of our Brett Kavanaugh discussion.
Yeah.
We'll see how that all sort of plays out. All right. Meanwhile, I wanted to have a brief conversation. First of all, you might have noticed, Kareem, I was chugging that beer.
Yes.
Okay. There's a reason why I was chugging that beer. I have started to do intermittent fasting.
Okay.
So that is why. So the intermittent fasting I'm doing means for 16 hours, I do not consume anything other than black coffee, tea, or water.
Okay.
So nothing with calories, no liquid, no food, nothing like that. Excuse me. I had until 7:30 because I had my first thing today at 11:30.
Okay.
So I had till 7:30 to finish anything with caloric value. So that's why I was chugging that beer. It's interesting. I've only been doing it for 2 days now.
Yeah.
So there's two types of intermittent fasting. And I'm doing it, one, to feel better, two, to probably drop a little weight, and three, to just get a little healthier. Fasting, of course, is something that people do in religion all the time. Intermittent fasting has gotten a lot more popular the past a few years with people in terms of fitness. Now, there's two types of intermittent fasting that people tend to do. I do the second type. The first type is where basically 2 days a week you eat nothing.
That's the one that we did during our
your retreat.
No, the meal thing that me and my girlfriend did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that type of that's intermittent fasting as well, where 2 days out of the week, whether it's Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, whatever, there's 2 days out of the week that you do not eat anything.
Okay.
At all. The intermittent fasting I'm doing is 16 hours a day you have nothing, 8 hours a day you eat.
Okay.
And you eat whatever you want, technically. Now, I'm trying not to go crazy with this.
Yeah.
But that's the idea of what I'm doing. So I started Monday. Now, I had stuff Sunday night. So Monday, I made it till 11 a.m. before I had to eat something because I was starting to get a headache.
Okay.
But Monday, I managed to go 11 to 7 was my window where I ate. I stopped eating at 7. Today's Tuesday as we record this. I made it to 11:30. And 11:30 to 7:30 is my eating window, and now I'm done.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see how this goes.
Yeah.
It's actually not that bad. It's something that I know I can do. It's interesting because Leslie started something as well on Monday. She started having six small meals a day.
Okay.
And when I told her about the intermittent fasting, she's like, I could never do that. And I said, well, you know what I can't do? Six small meals. So I think the real lesson here is we can't, I mean, you got to find your own thing that works. And I don't know if the intermittent fasting is going to work, but I'm going to give it a month and see where I am.
Okay.
See where I am. Because there are other things I can do, you know, weighing out everything, portioning everything out and doing that. The idea behind intermittent fasting is you eat for 8 hours, but you tend to take in fewer calories because you're not eating throughout the day.
Right.
The problem with six small meals is the meals tend to get a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger. So I was like, I'll just have that. Yeah. You know, beer, not necessarily the most ideal thing, but whatevs.
Got it in.
I did. I got it in. Not only that, I got a couple others in before we started here.
This is going to be interesting.
Not the first. The second show is where it'll get. But I did actually have dinner, so
okay.
This should not be bad. I brought that up because we're talking about health. I've been seeing a lot of people on Facebook posting a lot of nonsense about health, and I have one person in particular that I will not name who has decided that he is going to attack, what's her name? The young lady who won the Democratic primary in New York State.
I can't remember her name.
Exactly. Octavia Spencer. We'll call her that.
Yeah.
That's not her name. It's a hyphenated last name. Anyway, I can't vote for her. I don't live in her district. She, sort of like Bernie Sanders, is a Democratic socialist. She believes in health and Medicare for all and a living wage. Those are her two primary things. And I have a friend who has been posting a lot of stuff on Facebook lately about how she's silly and she doesn't understand how anything works and we can't pay for any of this. I have this to say otherwise. This is from healthsystemtracker.org. And while the U.S. has similar public spending, its private sector spending is triple that of comparable countries on healthcare. This is from these numbers are from 2016. If you look at how much public money is spent on healthcare, the United States spends more per capita than Switzerland. No, I do not want to restart the computer now. More per capita than Switzerland, Canada, Australia. About the same as the United Kingdom, a little less than France, Germany, and Belgium, and Austria. That's public spending on healthcare. Keep in mind that these countries, their public spending on healthcare means all of their citizens have their healthcare taken care of.
Right.
The rub is, on the other side, the amount of private spending on healthcare in the United States literally dwarfs any other country. It's more than twice that of Switzerland and significantly more than that of any other country in the industrialized world. So the idea that we cannot afford to provide health care for all is at its root a fallacy, a complete and utter fallacy. The U.S. has increased both public and private sector spending at a rate faster than similar countries. From 1970 to 2016, and over the past three decades, the U.S. has seen increased spending by both public and private sectors. Comparable countries increased private sector spending from 1.4 to 2.7% of GDP, while the U.S. went from 3.9 to 8.8% in the same period. In 2016, the U.S. spent 8.5% of gross domestic product on health through public funds, a rate similar to comparable countries. But again, with that level of spending, every citizen in those countries has health care. They don't have to buy health care at work. They don't have co-pays when they go to the doctor. Their health care is covered for that same amount of money.
So one of the things that we seem to forget is that the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare,
mm-hmm.
came about because the system was broken.
Right. It's absolutely broken.
It did not come about because Barack Obama was like, oh, I think I want to do health care today. No, it came about because the system was broken.
We were spending all this money on people. Primarily, we're spending a ton of money on people who are rolling into the emergency room for basic care because they had no insurance and they did not go to a doctor for preventative care.
Yes, and it wasn't the first time that the idea came, because Hillary Clinton wanted to do it back when Bill was president.
Mm-hmm, early 90s.
Early 90s. So that was 20 years before this. And the system had not gotten any better. It had gotten worse. So anybody who thinks that, all the people who are still trying to blame it on Obamacare, no, the system was broken. It was trying to fix the system.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a better idea for a way to fix the system, shut the fuck up.
The big problem is, just like literally anything else, the real issue is you've got all of these lobbyists representing these insurance companies that are making billions of dollars.
Yes.
Off the backs of the American workers. And the thing that blows my mind is the Republican Party is supposed to be the party of the people, of personal freedom. What could be more personally freeing than the idea that you can go out and start your own business? You can be an entrepreneur. You can do whatever you want to do, and your health insurance is not tied to a job.
Yeah.
You can just go out and be free, create, do whatever you want, start a company, make a business, do whatever. By the way, do you realize how much money you would save all of these companies on healthcare costs?
Yeah, but they'd rather have one of their friends be able to fuck you by overcharging you for health care.
Of course. Of course.
And you brought up the insurance companies. It's not just the insurance company. It's the pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the hospitals.
Right.
The corporate hospitals. So all of these are in cahoots with the insurance company to try to get as much money out of American people as possible.
Cahoots, you say?
Cahoots.
Cahoots. So this idea, don't buy this bullshit.
So when they stop you, look, if they're going to stop you from trying to go buy medicine in Canada,
mm-hmm.
because it's cheaper in Canada,
yep.
then you should know that there's something fucking wrong.
And there's a reason that it's cheaper in Canada, and this is basic economics. It's called buying power.
Yes.
And the buying power of a single payer healthcare system. By the way, a single payer would be the government as insurance.
Yes.
Not the government is handling your health. The government is not your doctor, idiots.
Yeah.
Don't fall for that bullshit either. The government is not your doctor. The government is merely the payer of the insurance claims. And as the single one, they are going to have the buying power from all of the pharmaceutical companies to get a better price on everything. It's the reason the same thing costs half as much as Walmart as it does at your local little mom and pop store.
Yep.
Because there is that buying power. And the fact that on one hand, the Republican Party is totally cool with, let them be big. Let them do whatever they want to do. But on the other side, it's big government. It's not.
Yeah.
The bottom line is the Republican Party is the party of corporations.
Yes.
And the Democratic Party does have issues.
Yes.
Absolutely fucking has issues. But this fucking false equivalency that the Green Party likes to do, that, oh, they're exactly the same, they're not the fucking same.
No.
They're not. Because the Republican Party wants to fuck the average individual and lies to their face every day. And the Democratic Party wants to help the individual and somehow manages to fuck it up.
Yeah. One of my friends was talking about that, and he kept trying to make a comparison. It's like, dude, no. And even Steve Bannon,
mm-hmm.
the devil himself, was like, the Democrats are pillow fighting. Want a pillow fight, and we want to cut your fucking throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The average individual American.
Yeah.
And the idea that, and it's just, it makes me really sad when I see these people who come from these disadvantaged backgrounds, who are in areas of economic really downturns.
Yeah.
Places like West Virginia and parts of the Rust Belt and even parts of like Vermont where I'm from. You have these people who are of this mind that the Democrats are evil and they just want to have the government control your life. It's like, are you fucking high?
Yeah.
They don't want the government to control your life. They want you to actually be able to have a life.
Yes.
And be able to go out and do whatever you want to do. The Republican Party is the one who wants corporations to control everything that you do.
Yes.
And the fact that people can't seem to see that is just unbelievable.
I want to be able to work in the coal mine like my daddy.
How are we going to pay for it? I don't know. How are we going to pay for all this fucking corporate welfare? How are we going to pay for this unbelievable increase in defense spending that not a fucking iota of it is going to actually support the veterans that we claim to love and support? They can sleep under a fucking bridge and be homeless. Fuck them.
Yeah.
They got into drugs. It's their own fault.
Yeah.
Unfucking believable.
Oh, huh. Don't have any regulations because we don't care what they put in our water.
Right.
All of my family's dying from opioids, but we don't want to regulate that.
Don't want anything to do with that. By the way, how about we take 1% of the military budget and spend it to help homeless veterans who are addicted to drugs.
Yes.
Get off the streets. 1%.
Yeah.
Just 1%. The idea that they would do that, and they will turn and they will rail against that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, oh, no, those people made personal choices.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Hey, farmers made personal choices to be farmers, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to give them money to prop them up.
Yeah. And people made choices to work at Walmart, and we give them welfare because, oh, they're not paid a living wage.
Yeah. So, hey, you got a job. You should be able to eat off your job. You don't deserve food stamps.
How can we afford to have people make a living wage? Oh, we can't afford to pay for that, but we can afford to give all the people who work at Walmart welfare because they don't make enough money.
No, we can't.
Anywho, her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The criticism that was levied was she did a photo shoot with an expensive suit and heels on, and oh my goodness, were the people at Fox News upset.
And then there's this. The rising star of the Democratic Party has expensive taste for a socialist. Congressional candidate Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez spotted posing in a $3,500 outfit.
Wait, what?
For a photo shoot for Interview Magazine. Her pantsuit, appropriate, retailing more than $2,800 alone. Ooh. And the shoes, $600.
It's tough being a socialist. It really is.
I mean, I want a pair of $600 shoes. Yeah. I think she should redistribute.
I'm trying to think, have I ever had $600? I don't think I have. No. Pretty confidently.
Pretty remarkable.
That.
That's amazing.
Good hypocrisy at its best.
Socialist.
All right. So when I saw someone repost that, hypocrisy at its best, I was like, okay, first of all, you are an asshole. Second of all, he's on a 30-day timeout on Facebook, by the way, as of today.
Good.
She responded on Twitter. She said, A, the alt-right doesn't seem to understand the concept of magazine shoots. B, you don't get to keep the clothes. Duh. C, I don't pretend to fight for a living wage and Medicare for all. I do it. And D, get used to me saying Luke's because I'm an excellent thrift store shopper. Why are so many white people attacking this woman of color?
Because she won.
Right? Well, it's not just that. She's a
threat. Losing in the Bronx, yes, paying off.
She is a threat.
Well, moving on.
Oh, yeah.
She's a threat. Her ideas are a threat. The people that support her are a threat. And what they're a threat to is the status quo of, oh, we're just going to let it go. When, in fact, the reality of it is more Americans actually support these ideas than they want to admit.
Yeah. Well, because we are partly a socialist country.
Yeah, we have the fire department, socialist. The police department, socialist.
Yeah.
Don't we fucking love talking about how much we love the cops?
Yes.
And by the way, I support the fire and police departments completely and totally, the ones that don't kill people that don't need to be killed. That's socialism.
Yeah.
It's the government providing a service that you've paid taxes for. The water that shows up at your house. socialism.
Yeah.
You're drinking socialism. Hello, everybody. You're drinking socialism. Socialism is coming right out of your tap.
And all you libertarians who want to be libertarian, bullshit. That's libertarian. Libertarianism is the ultimate in hypocrisy.
It really, well, the people that really get into it, and the Green Party does a little bit as well.
Because one, you haven't built a fucking road.
Nope.
You haven't built any, you haven't built any other services that come to your door.
Mm-hmm. Socialism.
So, you haven't built a car.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you can buy a car, you can buy your house, then you should have solar panels on your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you have should be self-sustaining.
By the way, I flushed my toilet today.
Yes.
Socialism.
Yeah. Everything that you have as a libertarian should be self-sustaining. Because otherwise you are living off the system.
By the way, socialism took your poo away from you this morning when you shit in the toilet and flushed it. just a little wake-up call to you. Every morning when you flush the toilet, socialism in your house!
Every libertarian is a hypocrite.
Yeah, well, there's yes. that. All right, let's move out of the politics for a moment. Let's go to some entertainment. Beyonce's former drummer is now accusing her of extreme witchcraft.
I put a spell on you.
Is it deja vu or voodoo? The Illuminati are just crazy in love. That's what we're wondering after hearing some truly bizarre allegations by Beyonce's former drummer, Kimberly Thompson, as reported by The Blast. Thompson, who claims to have been a member of the singer's band for 7 years, recently requested a restraining order against Beyonce, claiming the star practices, quote, extreme witchcraft, end quote. If so, that would explain a lot about the Beehive. But according to the request, which was denied by a judge, Beyonce allegedly used dark magic and magic spells of sexual molestation to surveil Thompson by tapping her phone, controlling her finances, and harassing her. She also reported allegedly that Beyonce murdered her kitten. You'd think there'd be proof of that. Wouldn't it be weird if Beyonce was going around murdering kittens?
It would be weird.
It would be really fucking weird. Like, you know, I'm Beyonce. I've got a ton of money. I've got a really rich husband. I've got a very, active social life, and I enjoy murdering kittens. It'd just be weird. Though neither Beyonce's team nor Thompson returned requests for comments by The Blaze or Page Six, it has been confirmed that Thompson is a multi-instrumentalist who was, at one point, a member of Beyonce's all-female band. The Blaze also posted a now-deleted YouTube video of Thompson in which she talks about mean people. Editor's note, now hopefully someone has offered Thompson some sage, whether it's advice or herb to ward off this extreme witchcraft, which can only assume is like regular witchcraft, but is done while Beyonce performs a 360-degree somersault on a broom. Haha. So, anyway, do you believe Beyonce is dabbling in black magic?
I would not be surprised.
It would explain a lot.
Her mother's from Houston.
Like,
and as you've seen her, she's from, I think her mother's from, might be from New Orleans.
Little bit of voodoo.
Little bit of voodoo. It's entirely possible.
Little bit of voodoo. Also in entertainment, I don't know if you saw this, Kareem. There was a sneak video of the new Joker. Because your love, this is the music behind it, has passed me by. You took me by surprise. I didn't realize that you were lying. Joaquin Phoenix is the Joker.
Hmm.
Are you excited?
I don't know.
So far, the announced co-stars include Robert De Niro, Zazie Beetz, Marc Maron, and Brian Callen. Scorsese is producing, Todd Phillips of The Hangover is directing, and it's scheduled to come out next October. He joined Cesar Romero, Jack Nicholson, and Heath Ledger as the Joker. It's an interesting interesting casting for sure.
Yeah. It's one of those I'll have to see it.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anybody that's creepy enough to bring the Joker out, I think Joaquin Phoenix sort of fits the bill.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird to go through that whole thing. I'm like, "Oh yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. All right. Got it." That's what we're going to do. All right, let's go ahead and do this.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy Sex Toy News.
Sex Toy News brought to you by actress Tiffany Haddish, who was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Cache Creek Casino Resort is expanding, which means...
Right after this Cache Creek ad. By the way, Cache Creek is where my father-in-law goes a lot to gamble.
Yeah.
It's out in the middle. It's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It's always been in the middle
of nowhere. It really is. Brooks, California. By the middle of fucking nowhere. They advertise a lot of A's games, too. Like in the Bay Area. But,
do they still let you smoke in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can smoke at Cache Creek Casino. By the way, their steakhouse is amazing.
They didn't have a steakhouse when we used to go.
Oh, it's fucking...
Know your lines, one take, that's it.
Bam!
What do you do? Have you had to give up anything in your personal life? Because a lot of times when people first get on the rocket ride, everything has to go except the work.
Well, I've kept up with most everything, but I haven't been dating. So, I mean, my relationships, my personal relationships haven't been that good. So, but I have been keeping up with my weighted blanket and my toys that I get off of Groupon. And batteries. Batteries are a girl's best friend.
What is...
I like how the band looking at me trying to figure out what is she talking about.
I'll add myself to that list. Now, I'm going to ask you about one of those things. What's a weighted blanket?
A weighted blanket is a blanket that is like filled with, I think it's sand. I'm not sure what the material is, but it's like 25 pounds, right? And you could throw that over your legs, and then you spray a little cologne over, and you throw it over your arms, and it feel like a man is holding you. And you snuggle up into that like this right here, right? Like that right there.
Okay.
And then you open up your nightstand drawer, put your batteries in.
Right.
And go to sleep.
Exactly, exactly, because you got your reading light. You're going to read the book before you go to bed. I do the same thing.
By the way, what do you think would happen if, let's say, Kevin Hart went on a talk show and talked about how he just really enjoyed his alone time with his pocket pussy?
Not to say.
I mean, I'm all for women being empowered. But yeah, anytime I hear that, that just sort of, that's the thing that pops in my head. I'm like, huh, I wonder what would happen if a guy went on a talk show and talked about how he masturbated.
It's creepy. He's a pervert.
Right.
He's a prevert.
I have this doll that looks a lot like a woman, but not like a whole woman, just the torso. And you know, you get on top and you do your business. And it's like having a real woman there, but I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it would not go over well.
Well, good.
The same women that are laughing at that would be boycotting that dude.
Exactly. I think the real headline here is that Tiffany Haddish gets her sex toys from Groupon.
Yes. She had to get that plug in so she can keep getting that Groupon money.
Meanwhile, in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, a former radio host was fired after making comments about transgender people. He's now suing for wrongful dismissal. His name's Dave Wheeler. Well, that's his air name. His real name's Christopher Wheeler Johnson. He's seeking more than $1.4 million in damages from 92.1 City FM and its parent company, Rogers Media. That is a big company in Canada. Johnson was let go in July after he made comments on air that compared transgender people to actors who pretend to be different things. In his lawsuit, Johnson says the radio station hired him to be controversial and promoted him that way. He also says Rogers made untrue and defamatory remarks about him to the media after he was fired. The lawsuit contains allegations that have not been proven in court, and Rogers Media has yet to file a statement of defense. It was an express or implied term of Johnson's employment with Rogers that Johnson's on-air persona was to be provocative and controversial, and he was to push the boundaries and engage listeners in controversial social topics. That's the claim. Rogers has recklessly, unfairly, and intentionally harmed Johnson's reputation and has acted in a high-handed, wanton, and unfair manner. Rogers media spokesperson said last week that Johnson was fired after multiple disciplinary incidents, including one suspension, saying after repeated warnings, he continued to violate the company's core values and offend our audiences. We felt we had no choice but to end our relationship with him, and as we do not tolerate employees who display this type of behavior. Johnson's estimate of damages is based on his six-figure salary, plus pension and other benefits he's earning under a five-year contract renewal he signed in 2017. The contract provided for an annual base salary of $335,000, plus a one-time signing bonus of $100,000, and semi-annual bonuses of $10,000 if the radio station remained the highest rated in Winnipeg among adults aged 25 to 54. Holy shit! I did not know there was that much money in Winnipeg for a DJ.
Okay, so my question is, how many write-ups did he have?
At least one.
So
they said multiple, so I'm guessing at least two. So of them pulling him into an office and saying, dude, too far. By the way, if you're unfamiliar with Canada, in Canada, they are cool with you doing a certain amount of cursing, but you cannot insult people in certain ways. So you can't be insulting women as a group. You cannot be insulting homosexuals as a group, indigenous peoples as a group, black people as a group. You cannot do that. You can say asshole.
Yeah.
But you cannot insult people. That is a real core thing amongst Canadians, specifically Canadian broadcasters.
Okay.
So that's important to notice.
I'm glad you said that. Because I'm going to say, one, if he had been multiple write-ups, why did you renew him? Because it's only 2018.
Well, who knows? There might have been multiple write-ups in the last year.
Yeah,
I just signed a new contract. Fuck all y'all. I'm gonna do whatever I want.
Yeah, or they could have been, like they said, in there, a part of the contract was to do. And then he didn't say anything that was that bad.
Well, again, we don't have the full transcript of what he said. Yeah. We just have the gist of what he said.
Okay. Yeah. So, I'm just going by what you read.
Like, sure.
Oh, okay. Well.
And again, do not forget, because it's very important.
And that's why I said it's important. I'm glad that you said that, because otherwise I'm like, okay.
You cannot insult people, and especially protected groups and minority groups in Canada.
Yeah.
They'll show tits on TV, but God help you if you use a disparaging comment about gay people or about women. And, you know, honestly, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, so I can see tits, I can say asshole. I'm not going to get offended about just average, ordinary stuff, but you cannot disparage people and run them down or groups. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. So you have to be a decent person? What? Yeah. Even in Winnipeg?
Yeah.
But $334,000 a year? Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So was the radio station still in first place?
We do not know the answer to that. Yeah. According to the article, we do not know if he was going to be making those bonuses. But it doesn't matter, because here's the thing. As a company, because of the way the Canadian government looks at stuff, the Canadian government has rules about the amount of Canadian content that you have to have.
Yeah.
So you have to have a certain amount of Canadian content in terms of music if you're a music station in order to maintain your license. So if you're a company and you start to see this as a pattern, you better act on it really quickly before the government comes in and says, hey, we're pulling your license and we're going to fine you a fuck ton of money.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot that goes into that. But very, very interesting saga. Again, $335,000 a year in Winnipeg to be on a DJ? Son of a bitch.
He was getting late.
Son of a bitch.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Let's do just that. All right, it's time to head off to Plattsburgh, New York, and speak out. And by the way, speak out again so big, I had to split it in two. We'll have the rest of it on Friday's episode.
Okay.
Garbage.
Come on.
I live this area of the country, which is why I get so angry watching many trucks or trucks towing trailers used for garbage removal traveling uncovered on our highways dropping bags of garbage. It's disgusting to see garbage all over the roads. Garbage haulers, cover your loads. and law enforcement start ticketing these drivers. Okay, I can't disagree with that. And we need Democrats back in office again so maybe we can all start living again and feel safe as well and not worry if we'll be attacked. Trump is a very dangerous president.
He is.
He is, but, you know, you could be safe with a Republican president if they're not insane. Next letter. There are many who seem sickeningly joyous at the latest abuse revelations to engulf the Catholic Church. Just a reminder, as priests did not become pedophiles, pedophiles became priests. For the same reasons they become teachers, coaches, doctors, and any other profession that affords them access to their victims. Fair point?
No.
Okay. On a visit to Lake Placid, I noticed a dim-witted vandal had scrawled "No Borders" across the newspaper box. Either you have a nation with secure borders, or you have no borders and no nation. I wonder which party this vandal supports. I'm going to guess confused Democrat.
Probably.
You can't just blindly go, oh, yeah, no, that. Hey, Serena Williams. Let me try that again. I got that beer in just under the wire. Serena Williams looked confused after her loss at the U.S. Open. She wasn't sure whether to play the racism card, the sexism card, the motherhood card, the victim card, or the celebrity card. She only had to play a few. The media was willing to play all of them for her.
Oh, really?
I'm guessing old white person?
Yeah.
And finally, and this is a little dated, so today is not actually this, but today is National Act Like an Adult Day. That's not a thing. By the way, if you're an adult, that's every day, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Remember to go to work on time, pay your bills without complaint, have a sense of decorum and modesty in public, treat strangers decently, and use the money you were going to spend on a new nose ring on nutritious food for your children. Somebody has an agenda.
You should do that every day.
Yeah, somebody saw someone with a nose ring and a kid and got all upset.
Yeah.
Look at them with their nose ring and their kid.
I bet she doesn't even take care of her kid.
She got that nose ring. She don't even know what's going on. Anyway, that's it for Small Town News and Speak Out from the Press Republican. Thank you, Press Republican. And thank you, bigoted and closed-minded people of Plattsburgh, New York. We couldn't do the show without you. Kareem, thank you as well for making it in.
Thank you for having me.
Jason, thank you for answering the call when we called. And I want to wrap this one up. We're back on Friday with another fresh new episode. I will have the story of what I call Angry Brownwater Sunday.
Uh-oh.
What else? Oh, we have a lot. Greg Popovich has some thoughts. Bruno Mars caused a beating. And Chevy Chase doesn't know when to shut up. All of that and more fun coming your way on Friday on the Nate Darling Show. Until then, enjoy this. This is not Led Zeppelin. This is a band called Greta Van Fleet. They still play fucking rock and roll. Enjoy it. We'll see you next time. Oh, and by the way, shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show. Doesn't cost you anything extra. And we do appreciate it. Bye-bye.